I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you. Get Goldfinger
today. Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. Join on the line for a much happier episode as the Raptors defeated the Bucks by a score of 123-116. At the Fiserv Arena, at the Fiserv Forum, by Assad.
Hello, William. How are you doing today?
Horrible, Assad. Back on the podcast after one of the Raptors' best wins of the season.
Quite a riveting basketball match we witnessed tonight.
Yes.
On our television sets. Man. Quite the game. The Fiserv.forum.
What is Fiserv?
I have no clue. I do not know how to pronounce it correctly. Well, but I hope that this is good enough for those out there.
Jeez.
Dog, what a game.
Yo, this one felt good, man. It was very necessary. This was necessary after that Spurs game, because that Spurs game was ugly.
That Spurs game scared me half to death, so I don't really want to talk to it anymore. This game solved a lot of those problems for me, like personally, from an anxiety standpoint. I have looked at the box score for like the last 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's not even the Raptors side. Like, I was looking at the Bucks side trying to figure out where they lost this game.
Yeah.
And they played like a pretty good game.
That's the thing. Yo, that was my biggest take from this game, was like the Bucks kind of played as well as the Bucks could play, right? Like, they could cut DJ Wilson's minutes. Ilyasova could like get healthy and whatever, but like all
their
guys
put 49% from the floor. They shot 37.5% from three. Giannis had 40 points somehow. I don't know when he scored those 40 points. I'll be dead honest with you.
I was like, yo, like, this is great defense against Giannis all night. And then look at the box score. He has 43 points.
When I looked at the box score, I was like, man, we've really been stonewalling Giannis consistently. It was like maybe 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I look at the box score and he's 14-22 from the floor. I'm like, how?
Yeah. Nah, man. I mean, look. This was, obviously the Raptors have been shorthanded, no Kyle, no JV. But the thing is, Kyle and JV, at least over the first two games of this matchup, have not been there, like, consistently. Like, have not been contributors in those first two games, especially with Kyle, I think, going scoreless in one of them. And that was still close. But the rest of the team really stepped up. I mean, look, let's just start here, all right? The starting unit, you got 25 from Serge Ibaka, who's averaging 26 points per game against the Bucks. We can talk about why.
Mafuzi, chef.
Mafuzi, baby. In those DMs, apparently.
Cooking up some Bucks, bro.
Yeah.
Rare Bucks.
Some rare. Yo, listen, I would love to see that. The How Hungry Are You episode. You know, he just pulls back the tray and it's antlers with salt and pepper on it. And he's serving it to Giannis, his future teammate. Pascal with 30. Kawhi with 30. Van Vliet with 21, and then Danny Green with a solid 12 points, but only 7 shots, so it's pretty efficient. I mean, from there, you're like, holy shit, that's like incredible production. But then you look at the bench, the Raptors bench at 5 total points.
That's the wild point. The Raptors five starters outscored the Bucks.
Yeah.
That was the game. That is insane.
Yeah. I mean, good job by Nick Nurse to realize that his bench is completely trash, and he just didn't play them. Like, Monroe came in for 6 minutes, was just horrendous. He had one rebound, a turnover, and a personal foul, minus 12 in 6 minutes. DeLon just bricking everything. You know, OG hit a three. I was like, okay, this could be a good game from OG. Nothing the rest of the game. Norm, I mean, bless Norm. He's been playing well recently. He got some good defensive plays, but still, man, 0-for-5. And Nick Nurse basically decided, like, I'm going to ride with the starters. Good
like
call.
The Bucks, I think Nick Nurse talked about in the post game. He said, like, against the Bucks, you have to, like, execute your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And the one big issue with our bench is that, like, don't execute offense at all. Like, they're mostly their offense is kind of like, yo, let's get fast break. Let's get some sort of transition look and kind of hope something happens.
But the issue is they don't play defense either because, Monroe's in there. And OG's not very good defender at the four. And so,
That was the part that really confused me. I was confused as to why Monroe was out there for as long as he was, just based on the matchup alone.
Yeah.
So the Bucks really did not have a big at all. Even when Brook Lopez plays, he does not play like a big.
No. It was so actually hilarious. Van Vliet was switching on him.
And he guarded him like two possessions easily.
Yeah.
Which was quite funny. But that was the thing where it's like, the Bucks do not play anyone who plays as a big where you need a bulky defender on them.
Mm-hmm.
And since they have so much length on defense, you're not going to get a clean low post, like post up on them, because they'll just double down.
Shout out
so there's not really a benefit to playing Monroe, and maybe like JV obviously brings you different things with defensive rebounding at like an elite level and setting mm-hmm. solid screens. Mm-hmm. So maybe JV might have a role in this matchup in the future. We don't really know that, but there was no reason for Monroe to be out there. Like there, and basically once Nick Nurse decided, hey, no more Monroe, the Raptors just went on like a 20-25 point swing
mm-hmm.
for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and a lot of that was Pascal playing center. It's been, yeah. I mean, the fact that he's able to play center, I mean, obviously today, like you mentioned, the matchup is a little bit favorable because they don't have any, like, bruising interior players. But, like, the fact that Pascal can be a rim protector and he just, like, I don't know, man. Like, he could just play those minutes without, like, taking a hit, bruising and, like, hit. You know what I mean? Like, you look at Serge, for example. Like, he's had to guard all these big centers and his production has gone down when JV's, you know, been out. Yeah. But, like, I don't know what it is with Siakam. The guy's like built of titanium or something. He just
this game was good. Like this game gave me some confidence in terms of an actual Raptors Bucks matchup
mm-hmm.
because the one thing that you saw was A, when the Raptors actually executed their offense,
yep.
the 2 points where they know they can get buckets are from Siakam and Ibaka. They can basically run a pick and roll every single time, a high, yep. high pick and roll with spread, and they will get an open pick and pop jumper because the Bucks play with their big man back.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job after, like, in the late second quarter once they took that Monroe unit out
mm-hmm.
of basically every time they came down the floor when Lopez or Ilyasova were on the floor,
yep.
they made them guard in the pick and roll. As soon as they dropped back, it was a pick and pop jumper for Serge and yep. he's money there.
That's Serge, why Serge has averaged 26 points a game this year against the Bucks.
And I think even going back to last year up until like game 2, game 3 in that not last year. When did they play the Bucks? The year before.
2017.
Yeah, like Serge had a good series against the Bucks then too. Like he does really well against this team.
Yo, remember when he got bodied by Monroe though? That was random. Remember when Monroe was a good player?
I can't believe Monroe played for the Bucks. I totally forgot about that.
Yo, the Bucks signed him for like $50 million away from the Knicks, and the Bucks were celebrating like, oh my god, look at us. We finally made it. We signed a fridge and away from the Knicks. As it turns out, the Knicks only signed bad centers. Shout out Joakim, the greatest finesse of all time.
But I don't want to dump on Monroe too much because he is like the 14th man on this team.
Yeah.
14th man on this team or whatever. So like he's the third string center, the fourth string center, really, because you're going to play Siakam at the five as the third option.
Yeah.
So like I don't want to dump on him too much. Like he's overextended. And that's the one thing that we saw with the bench tonight where it was like I was worried coming in. I'm like, without JV and Kyle Lowry, do you have enough talent to really play your depth?
Mm-hmm.
And going against a healthy Bucks squad, nah. I'm like, that's probably where we'll lose because you'll have to play too many minutes. But the starters were so effective. A, defending. Like, they defended to a T. They made minimal mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how many offensive rebounds there were. That was the one thing I didn't look at.
The Bucks only got 4 offensive rebounds all game.
Like,
that's the like the bare minimum.
Was really good. The Raptors were doing good job gang rebounding when they went to the rim.
Yep.
And, like, the thing is, Giannis shot, 13 to 25 for the game. 16 and 25 for the game.
Yeah.
But I think he was 3 of 5 from three, right?
Yeah.
So realistically, Giannis shot 13 to 20 inside the arc, which is pretty freaking good in terms of your defense because the type of shots he's taking are paint looks.
Yeah.
And he's getting layups, and a couple of those are going to be like transition dunks. So sure, he goes 16 for 25, has 40 plus points. You're looking at, damn, we didn't guard him that well.
No.
But when you watch the game, you realize it's like, no, it was guarded really well. Every time he went into the paint, he saw a wall. It was a combination of Serge, Kawhi, and Siakam. Two of them were walling up the paint every single time and did a great job staying vertical and just making sure their hands were there for the contest, where I think Giannis got maybe one or two fouls at best when he was driving, and one of them was not a foul. And then
he gets some calls.
And then he traveled on one of the earlier ones on Siakam, which was like, hey,
bro, he traveled a lot, man. I think one of the key stats in this one was the fact that Giannis only got 4 assists, but he has 6 turnovers. And a lot of that is just like when he did get into the paint, like you mentioned, they were walling off the paint. And then whenever he would turn his back to the play, because he does have a bit of a back-to-back to the game, and his dribble isn't that great, so he likes to like shield. And whenever he did that, the Raptors are so good at sending timely help defense, whether that was Danny Green or Van Vliet, who's really, really good at sending help into the post. And the Raptors, I mean, tonight, their transition offense was really efficient. The Bucks are really good at getting back on defense. They're really disciplined. I mean, like, just Budenholzer's done a great job with the team. He should win coach.
And that's the one thing where I think over the last 2 weeks with Kyle out, Kawhi has done a great job of recognizing in semi-transition or in transition when he has a one-on-one look, and he attacks it right away. So he's like, I'm not going to give them time to send the help or send the trap. I'm going to attack the one-on-one look right away and get my shot. And he did that, I think, 3 or 4 times in that second or third quarter. And I think he scored on at least, like 75% of those.
Yeah.
Like, there are jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get your looks. Because, like, otherwise, whenever Giannis got, they were doubling up. The one thing that was nice to see, though, was outside of Giannis guarding Kawhi.
Yep.
Kawhi basically can score on every single one of their perimeter defenders.
Yeah.
And that was that. There was a late look. Kawhi top of the key with Giannis on him. This game still fairly, you know, I think it was 97, 96 at the time or something like that.
Yeah.
And Pascal basically yells at Kawhi to come take the screen.
Yeah.
And then he got Middleton. Going down, gets the switch on Middleton, gets the and one. And it's that's the part which I think was the most, looking ahead to a playoff matchup.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is the most, it was kind of weird not seeing Thon Maker. I don't know how he's playing recently. Did not play today, right?
Yeah, he should really play. I mean, DJ Wilson is waste.
Yeah, DJ Wilson, doesn't have a role in this matchup.
No, he doesn't. Doesn't have a role in the NBA.
Yeah. So really, that was one of the things where it was that's really important to see, where it's that Serge can get a look whenever he wants. And that was one of the things that really pissed me off about the bench, actually, was when they played bench with Serge at the beginning of that fourth quarter.
They were just doing dumb shit, man.
They just would not give the ball to Serge. They gave the ball to Serge 2 times. Both times it either ended in a bucket or a foul.
Yeah.
And it's he was open multiple times, got switches multiple times. One of them, OG takes a three for no reason. Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible shot.
They just played the ball on the other side of the floor from Serge for no reason. It's you have Serge out there, use him.
Yeah.
Because every time they ran a pick and roll, the big drops, because that's Milwaukee's scheme, and Serge is open from the elbow, just passing the ball. Even the really deep Fred VanVleet three that he hit at the end of the shot clock.
Great shot.
On the play where they swung it. Great shot. But at the beginning of that play, Fred with 13, 14 seconds, pick and roll with Serge in the middle lane.
Yeah.
Does not hit him when he's open at the elbow.
Yeah.
And continues to play on the other side. And it's man, you guys have to hit Serge when he's in this matchup. Anytime that big's dropping and Serge setting that screen, he has to get the ball because that pick and pop jumper is money.
And that's the thing. That's basically the only way to beat the Bucks. Any team that's going to beat the Bucks this year needs to have a big who can, A, protect the rim and just be, mobile and, send help, because Giannis obviously is going to demand attention and extra help. But, you need a guy who can pick and pop. It's absolutely necessary. That's how the Celtics ultimately got past the Bucks last year, was because they had Al Horford. Horford had a great Game 7. And it's the same thing here. Ibaka, to his credit, he's consistently come through, right? And I think this matchup almost plays into Serge's favor, in the sense that the Raptors kind of have they just don't really prioritize looking for Serge as much whenever Kyle's not in the game. When Kyle's in the game, he always goes to Serge early on, because Kyle, wants to get his X number of assists, and also he's just a great point guard. But really, he wants to get those assists, and he knows Ibaka can get make those shots. But VanVleet just doesn't have the same priority. I thought today VanVleet played the Kyle Lowry role perfect. You got 21 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists on 6 of 12 shooting with 5 threes out of Kyle Lowry, you're completely thrilled in this series, in this matchup. And
with
VanVleet,
it's
Van
not
Vliet
even
did.
The points. The points for VanVleet don't even matter. The fact
they're
that
all
he's
catch
able
and shoot
to get
points.
8
that's
assists,
it. Yeah,
he's able to get 8 assists. And yes, catch and shoot looks, because that's what his offense should be.
Yeah,
especially against the Bucks.
His off dribble stuff is not good.
I think he forced one drive.
Yeah,
where he got caught, and he had to go late in the shot clock, and he just airballed it. It was because he was basically on a big. And that's the game he needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that we saw today was, the Raptors defense played what we have imagined it and were salivating over in the offseason.
Yeah.
This was it, where it was they're closing out to the right guys at, with the right amount of aggression. They're walling off the paint. They're rebounding well. And they're just cutting off transition. Kawhi had 5 steals this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely nutty.
Middleton,
and then on
bro.
The
that,
flip
guy,
side,
that guy was
offense,
having nightmares.
On offense. This is what the Raptors starting five is going to look like when their point guard is hitting shots. Whether that's Fred or whether that's Kyle, if that position's hitting threes, they become near impossible to guard, because you have to stay attached to Serge Ibaka in a pick and roll, or otherwise he's getting that 18 footer off. You basically have to send a double to Kawhi anytime he's inside the arc, because if you don't, he's going to score in that one-on-one possession.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sag off Siakam too much, he's either going to attack that.
Hey man, Siakam can hit the corner now.
And he's consistently draining that corner three. Yeah. Like, he's shooting 44 from the corner. That's not anything to laugh at anymore, where it's like, no, you know what? That's a shot he can hit.
Yeah.
And his setup is, like, legitimately his shot setup is good.
It's a good
shot.
Like,
I was worried. I was laughing because the first shot he took, I think, hit the side of the backboard.
Yeah, he banked it from the corner. That was wild. It's almost impossible to do that. But, I mean, he settled himself down. I mean, he hit that, like, long above the break three. I think probably, like, 28 feet, probably. I think that one really set up his confidence. But, first off, specifically in this matchup, the fact that you can have Siakam as your backup center going against Ersan Ilyasova, bro, Siakam's eyes light up. I mean, they're already, you know, usually pretty lit up anyway because he's very confident. But, like, Ilyasova especially, like, Siakam has just torched them in all three of these games. And so if you can have, if, like, the Bucks don't get another backup big and they have to actually play Ilyasova, then you're just, the obvious move is to just play Siakam more because he just torches Ilyasova every single time. That spin move, just whatever he wants to get against Ilyasova, he's going
to
get
it. There were times tonight where he went to Ilyasova and I was yelling at the TV to spin because he just didn't realize that Ilyasova was so poorly positioned that he could literally just turn around and lay it up.
Yeah.
Like, he still
didn't
scored.
Matter, though. Yeah.
He still scored.
Career high, like, 30.
Man, you could have just spun and gotten it. I think the biggest thing to note, though, with the Raptors matchup is when they have Serge, Kawhi, and Serge, Kawhi, and Siakam out there,
mm-hmm.
those are three guys who have length that is going to make it troublesome for Giannis to block. Giannis had zero blocks tonight.
Yeah.
That's big. Like, that usually big. When Giannis is playing, the only person on the opposing team that he can't block when they go at the rim is their big man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually the only one. Like, the fact that the Raptors have so much wingspan at those three positions,
mm-hmm.
you saw Kawhi able to get his shot off over Giannis. Whether he makes it or not, he's not getting blocked. He can get that shot off. Mm-hmm. And he can get to the paint and still get a shot off. You saw Siakam, there was a goaltend. Where Giannis, I think, had two goaltends in this game. One was Siakam. Yeah. It was the chase back. Down opportunity. That's something that Giannis is going to get that chase down block normally.
Yep.
Siakam gets it to the – just uses his length, is able to get the ball right to the backboard before Giannis can get there. Goaltend. The mm-hmm. other one, was it – I forget who floated up. It was either Siakam.
It was Siakam again. Yeah, that was on the putback.
Yeah, floated up, got it up above him, and it ended up being another goaltend. So that's another area where it's like you can look at this matchup and say, hey, there are some good things going for the Raptors when they meet in the – when they do meet in the playoffs, because I feel like these teams need to meet in the playoffs.
Bro, they're clearly the best two teams in the
East. Oh, my God.
It's not close,
man. This was going to be such a good series.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, like, this game and also the game that was played at the ACC were, again, you know, the Raptors lost that game because Kyle went scoreless. Like, period. That's the whole story. If Kyle hits even one three-pointer, the Raptors win that game. But both these two games have been just such highly executed games in terms of just, like, you know, the coaching has been very clever both ways. And the players have been really evenly matched. And so in that perspective, like, with the trade deadline coming up.
The first time in a while that we've seen an Eastern Conference series that was, like, well
actually competitive.
Because, like,
that doesn't just involve LeBron versus whatever team.
Years, like, even the most competitive series in the last couple of years have been, like, slugfests, where it's like, oh, my God, both these teams are terrible.
Yeah.
Which is, like, every seven-game series the Raptors have played, every single series the Celtics have been in. Anytime Washington's played, Atlanta's played, it's like these like teams are just not executing well, and then the Cavs come and steamroll them. Where even like the Cavs, Cavs Celtics series last year, it wasn't well executed on either side that well. Like, it was a slugfest. It was one team that's injured as hell, and the other team was just LeBron and a bunch of scrubs. So it will be really nice to see these guys meet up in the playoffs. That would be exciting. It would also be, like, heart attack inducing, I think, but
it would be difficult, man. But, I mean, like, we saw it. I mean, in 2017, that was a very difficult series as well, right? And, like, it really the reason why the Raptors won that series, if I'm going to be completely real about that, is they had a bad coach in Jason Kidd who couldn't adjust to the fact that Norman Powell was in the starting lineup and the Raptors were playing small. That's it. It took them, like, two games to adjust. And then when they finally adjusted
the
games,
Raptors figured out that by just having Serge Ibaka set a screen at half court, they could break up every single one of their traps, and they could not fix it.
I miss Jason Kidd, man. I really do. Budenholzer has done a good job with this team.
But I will be honest, I think Milwaukee needs to get the one seed.
You think
if
so?
If they want to win that series. I think they are the team that needs home court more.
Okay, well, here's the thing, bro. Milwaukee, first off, like, they have not had a single injury. Like, Ilyasova breaking his face has been one. But, like, whatever, that's Ilyasova, all right? Their starting unit plays every fucking game. Whereas the Raptors, like, we've already come up with so many different lineups, right? So, like, that right there, it's not even about the quality of these two teams, because we've seen that it's very closely matched. It's just really just the injuries, and that's going to be really unfortunate if the Raptors lose at home court. But one question I wanted to ask you before we do three stars and stuff like that is going into the trade deadline, right? I think the Bucks and Raptors should both be thinking of each other when they approach the trade deadline, which is in about a month plus, like, 2 days. What do the Raptors need to bolster this match, like, you know, against the Bucks, and what do the Bucks need against the Raptors? Because I think the Bucks already got a pretty good piece in George Hill. George Hill was pretty solid today, played 28 minutes, was good defensively. And not even that he did anything great. It's just like he was like a veteran and he was just like running the team. Whereas, like, you know, the Raptors would counter with DeLon Wright, and DeLon just has no ability whatsoever to command the team. It's his biggest flaw as an NBA player. That, and also that he's super not assertive.
I'll be honest. I think there's one player that both of these two teams could use against each other, and that player is Noah Vonleh. And I don't I don't think there's any way to get him to the Knicks. But yo,
all right, explain the Noah Vonleh thing.
Noah Vonleh guarded Giannis. Like, I saw him play Giannis twice, and he stonewalled him two games in a row. Like, it was like Giannis literally did not know how to attack Noah Vonleh because he's that long. Vonleh, I think he's been shooting the three at some level this year, which is not bad. And, like, he's been playing good, smart ball for the Knicks.
Yeah, he has
And
been,
he's a mobile big.
Yep.
And I think you put Vonleh on Ibaka for the Bucks, that probably solves a lot of their problems instead of having Brook Lopez out there, right? If you have, instead of Lopez or Ilyasova in that role, you have Vonleh, who can still kind of stretch it but can bolster your defense and your rebounding.
Yeah.
I think that solves a lot of problems for the Bucks against the Raptors. And then and gives you a lot more length. So even if he switches on to Kawhi, that's still a big guy to attack.
Yep.
Especially with the fact the Raptors have small guards. If you're going up against Giannis or Noah Vonleh in attacking in a pick and roll, that might be tough. That's a lot of length. And then on the flip side, the Raptors could straight up use Noah Vonleh for the same reason, where you can just guard. It gives you another Giannis defender. It gives you another rebounder and another mobile big when Ibaka has to hit the bench. Because I don't know if the Raptors have a plan for when Siakam and Ibaka get tired in this matchup.
Yeah, they really don't. That's the thing. The Raptors could use some depth, right? Because they have exactly two playable bigs.
Yeah.
In this matchup, and you know, I wasn't expecting you to say Vonleh, but that's a good call, man. I like that because I've been thinking more big picture stuff in terms of like what the Raptors can use against the Bucks, and like I think JV can have a role to play in the series, but like it's tough because like, as you mentioned, there's just no defensive matchup for JV in this series. And if you're expecting your big man to send help at the rim, but also consistently close out to a guy like Brook Lopez, it's just not going to go well for JV.
JV, have to be basically like, if he's on the floor, you use him in every single pick and roll and just let him dominate. Because I don't think anybody on the Bucks can really guard him.
Like,
if
you could have a Channing Frye type, I mean, Channing Frye is completely washed, so you're not going to get him. But like, if you can have like Kevin Love, obviously way too expensive and injured, but like that type of player coming off the bench, I think that would help the Raptors a ton. I think also for the Bucks, like, I think they could use a bigger wing, like just like a. Even like a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist type, you know, like a Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Like, because, like, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like a high quality guy. Like, Stanley Johnson did a really good job against Kawhi. Justice Winslow's done a good job against Kawhi. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's done pretty good jobs against Kawhi. Like, you just need a bigger, more physical guy. And the Bucks have Middleton for that. But Middleton, like, first off, he's more offensively oriented than anything else. So, like, he wants to conserve his energy. And also, like, he's just not big or physical. He's just like lanky and he stays in position, so he's like a decent defender, but he clearly can't guard him. And then
and the other wing really is Tony Snell, who like Kawhi's played with since he was a kid.
Exactly.
So I'm pretty sure Kawhi could probably get a bucket on him whenever he wants.
That was actually hilarious because like Kawhi saw Tony Snell on him early in the fourth quarter and he was like, all right, I know exactly where to go. Like, he looked at, like, took one look at him and directly drove for the baseline and took a fadeaway because they probably played one-on-one a million times.
100%.
Yeah.
So, like, I would think a bigger win. I don't know who that bigger wing would be.
Yeah.
I guess it just matters on what teams we're going to watch over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And, hey, who knows? If Memphis keeps losing by a bunch of points.
Marcus
like,
Gasol?
Spurs beat him again tonight.
Marcus Gasol?
Yep. Everybody wants Marcus Gasol.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice against the Bucks.
You know who would be nice? Yeah, the Celtics could need Marcus Gasol.
No. The Celtics are good, man. They're good with...
Terry Rozier, bro. They got...
Terry Rozier.
Can't trade him. Can't trade anyone.
Untradeable. Gershon Yabusele. Yo, that guy looks hilarious. That guy looks hilarious. Like, I don't want to body shame anybody, but just like compared to other NBA athletes, he looks hilarious.
He's the new Jared Sellinger, man.
He looks like a balloon.
Who was also on the Celtics.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Shout out Jared Sellinger, though. I really enjoyed his time with the Raptors. He just seemed like a great dude. You know?
Yeah. Except, I think there's some other stuff about him. Yeah, I think there's some other stuff about Sellinger, but that's something to search up. But right. Either way,
wow.
I don't remember that correctly, so I don't know. But yeah. So do 3 stars?
Let's do 3 stars, man. I think it's pretty obvious. But really, we should give 5 stars, all right? Every single starter deserves. Because, yo, the fourth quarter, like, just so much, like, shot making, just going back and forth. And, like, all 5 of these guys came up with huge plays. Danny Green hitting that 3. I mean, like, bro.
He did not hit mesh.
The net didn't move.
I thought he missed.
It looked like an air ball.
Danny Green thought he missed. Because he stopped playing. They tossed the ball up. And Kawhi ended up stealing, like, a freaking wide receiver. Looking like Odell Beckham Jr. stealing that, like, throw-ahead pass.
Mm.
But guys stopped playing. I literally thought that did not go in. That was crazy.
That was crazy. That's how accurate he was with that 3. Also came up with a steal on Bledsoe late in the game. Van Vliet with that 3. He is so money in the catch and shoots, man. He should just stick to the catch and shoot, all right? Like, just do the Kyle Lowry thing, all right? Just, like, get some butt injections and just continue doing what you're doing tonight, because this was great. If Fred could do this every night, it'd be great. Because sometimes Fred is like, all right, I'm going to be Kyrie, and it's like, no, you're not Kyrie, right?
Yep.
You're discount Lowry. It's a big difference. You got to humble yourself a little bit, but that's what you got to do. You got to get a best friend who's an inefficient shooting guard, probably go for Norman Powell. And, like, just do that. But don't be Kyrie, all right? Just
one
just
quick shout-out to Fred, though. Sometimes when he comes off the pick and roll, he really likes using cut dribbles, which I just have. Like, he does them, like, once or twice a game, and I just really love watching them.
Mm.
Like, a cut dribble where, like, I think John Wall made it famous, where basically, like, you swipe your hand across the side of the ball so that way it spins back towards you on the dribble. Like, almost like you're slicing at the ball.
Yeah.
Like, with a tennis racket. He does that, like, 2 or 3 times a game, and I just love it. It's really fun to watch.
The one thing with Fred is he is very crafty, but no matter what move he makes, he's not going to create enough separation to finish. Like,
yep.
he is shorter than me. All right? Like, that's just not okay, man. But, yeah, I mean, the 3 stars are Pascal. I think Pascal gets the number 1 star tonight, to be honest. Do you want to go Pascal or do you want to go Kawhi?
Oh, man, that's so hard.
Or do you want to go Serge? Because that's
the
thing.
I really think it's Serge. I honestly, like, Kawhi and Pascal were great.
Yeah.
But you expect them to be that great, I mm-hmm. think, at some level. Serge was absolutely outstanding. He changed the entire game.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
He stonewalled the paint entirely.
Brooke Lopez had 5 points.
He had 9 rebounds tonight.
Yeah.
Ibaka did, which is big on him.
Yeah.
And he had 5 assists. What are we talking about?
I can't believe
Like, he had 5 career assists up until tonight.
Yeah.
And he had 5 assists in a game. That's nuts. It's got to be Ibaka. He was incredible.
Yeah, he blocked Giannis, too. Great block.
God.
Really clean. And, like, I thought Giannis was going to dunk all over
him. He went coast to coast.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That was the same play, right? He blocks Giannis. He gets the rebound. He drives coast to coast. And then finishes in contact over Brook Lopez.
Is that one? Because then he also blocked someone else in this third quarter and came down, hit a 3. I think that was the Giannis block.
Maybe.
The first one, he blocked somebody, then went coast to coast and finished with contact. Second half, he blocks Giannis, comes back the other
incredible,
way.
Incredible, man.
The ball, it's a 3.
It's crazy incredible. How Serge can, like, look so bad on some nights and then come out looking like a superstar. Like, it's great.
I think it's his lefty hook. If his lefty hook, sorry, not his lefty hook, his righty hook, if that hook shot goes in at the beginning of the game, it's a good Serge night. Mm. I think that's the telling part. He didn't hit it against the Spurs. He hasn't hit it that well over the last couple of weeks. But tonight,
it
was like the first or second bucket he had that lefty hook, that righty hook go. And I was like, okay, you know what? That running hook's dropping. It's a good Serge night.
Yeah. All right, Serge. You know what, Serge? Let's get Serge the first star, man. It's rare that when that happens. And then second and third. I mean, it's Kawhi and Pascal, but what order?
I think Kawhi goes, oh, man. Pascal
that's
had
tough.
A great night, though.
I know.
You know what? That's Pascal.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pascal.
Yeah. And then Kawhi. Kawhi is your third star with 30 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals on 8 of 16 shooting, 2 threes, 12, 15. I mean, this pod has gone on so long, but
yeah.
Kawhi running pick and roll with Serge. I think that's one way the Raptors can consistently attack the Bucks, because, like, there are nights where Kyle's going to be cold or whatever, and, like, it's not going to be as effective running your offense through him. But, like, if the Bucks are going to, like, drop every pick and roll, they're going to drop their big back, And they're going to have their guards chase over the top. Like, Serge is going to set a good screen, and Kawhi's going to step in, either to the mid-range or even the three. He's fine with both of those. But he's going to have room to shoot, like, on those plays. And so, you know, I don't mind Kawhi running the offense in that sense. And also, Kawhi and Serge starting to get a little bit of chemistry pick-and-roll-wise. It's just a little bit. It'd be great if Ibaka could actually hit the pick-and-pop three right now. He could only do 20 to 18 feet, but that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I don't know, man.
It was a good game, man.
This is a great game. Just a great feeling, man.
Gerald Henderson?
Oh, yeah, Gerald Henderson. I want to give it to Malcolm Brogdon. I felt like every time he touched the ball, he scored. This dude, when he drives to the basket, he's so strong. Like,
yeah, he's really strong.
He pushed Pascal out of the way like three times.
Yeah.
How?
I'd say, like, Malcolm, he was good. There was one where I think in the first half where I think he just, first half, where he was up in a fast break, didn't have the numbers, pulled back, and then just did like a quick little sidestep and just turned around and laid it up anyways.
Yeah.
Where he threw the guy, I think it was Fred, off guard or whoever it was. And I was like, man, that's really good.
He reminds me so much of Andre Miller, man. He's got to develop a post game and then he's good.
Also, I think just a quick shout out, I think, to Sterling Brown, because Sterling Brown had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
Shot 3 of 6 from three, 11 points, and he played like 12 minutes. He literally did come off their bench.
Yeah.
So, like, he was good, and like his shot looks good. So, like, that's a good piece for them to have, because he's also a pretty big, like, in terms of like a point guard, shooting guard type size. He has a fair bit of size on him. So, like, it's weird how many guys the Bucks have.
But these are just random dudes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, it's not that different from a roster from before.
Yeah.
Like, from the last time the Raptors played them, since then they got Bledsoe and they got Lopez. And I guess Ilias against George Hill. Yeah, I don't know, man. Never mind. They've made some good improvements.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It'd be a great series, man. Asad, thank you for coming on the podcast. Horrible Asad. Follow Horrible Asad at Swar Lasers. But I warn you, though. what was this man called? The Human Reply Machine.
Really? All righty.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta come back, man.
HRM, jeez. All right.
Yeah.
Out you.
Swar Lasers, though.
Yeah, that's Swar Lasers.
Yeah.
Hit it up.
Your tweets have been better, though. I think once the Curious Cat goes down, you're much better.
Yeah, and the next couple months, I'm going to be dead anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's why you're going to be slimed. Yeah.
I'll be done.
Yo, slide into Asad's DMs about tax questions. Do it.
Yeah, feel free. I don't mind that. I will respond to you at my earliest convenience. Any knowledge I do have to share, I will share.
I hope every time you open your Curious Cat, it's just people sending you their T4s and shit.
I've had a guy send me his resume once.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
That was wild.
Yeah. But, okay. If you're not sliding into Asad's, you know, Curious Cat to ask about him, I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, chill. All right.
All right. Peace. Thank you.